All right. Thank you, Pastor. Let's turn to Matthew chapter number 28 tonight. Gospel of Matthew chapter number 28. Brother Tim, blessed and privileged to be with you and see how this ministry's grown through the years and what God has done and what God is doing. And grateful for the emphasis of missions. I love missions and missionaries. When I was in Bible college, out of 33 men, 30 were missionaries. I had two pastors, and I was the only evangelist out of that bunch. And I remember crawling in one of those Sunday school rooms. We had a vacant space in our Bible college curriculum because one of the teachers didn't show up. And I remember saying, Lord, I'll go to Alaska, Africa. I surrendered a Timbuktu, Kalamazoo. It don't really matter. And I didn't realize I'd go to all those places. Amen. And so it's been a real blessing to labor alongside missionaries and work around the world internationally and here at home as well. I was in a meeting in South Carolina years ago, and a guy had come back in from Russia, and he'd been there like a year, and he got up and presented his work, and he said, now, I'm not one of them love them and leave them evangelists. Said, we have them come through and preach, and then they leave. Said, I'm there to stay with them. And he didn't know it, but I'd made several trips to Russia and preached the Word of God and labored alongside missionaries. And we saw a lot of things done, hundreds of souls saved, and gave him contacts and opportunities that it had took him years to do by himself. But we'd take 10, 12 men with us. And I thought, man, we got to learn that we're laborers together. And whether it be the homestand here at the house of God, at this church, or it be evangelist, or it be a missionary, or it be laboring with young people, whatever it might be, we're laborers together. And there's no work more important or less important than the other. It's like cogs in a wheel. You knock a gear or two off, and you'll wind up sitting on the side of the road. We mesh together, we labor together, and that ought to be our heart's thrive and desire. And I've seen that in this ministry down through the years. And we've taken literature that you printed and put it out in different parts of the world. And to see the results of that. I remember standing in a high school in Russia and giving those Gospels of John and Romans out and seeing those young people and the delight that was on their heart. First portions of the Bible they ever had in their life. And I thought, you'll never see that here at Victory physically, but you'll see it when you get over on the other side. Amen? And God will reward the hands-on work that you've got going on. Let's stand tonight. We'll reverence God's Word together. In verse number 18 of Matthew 28, Jesus said, the Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Lord, I pray that you'll bless the message tonight. I pray the Word of God would go forth clearly. Lord, I pray for your anointing that you might vitally and eternally affect some heart. Glorify your Son, lift up your name, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to return to this subject tonight. The Great Commission. The Great Commission. Why do we call it the Great Commission? Well, we find in verse number 18 that this Great Commission begins with this statement. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I want to look tonight at the great authority of the Great Commission. I've been asked many times, what business do you have here? What are you doing here? Who sent you? Who's behind this? Well, the Lord said, all power's given unto me in heaven and in earth.
Go yet therefore. That is the foundation of missions. Now, many times when we hear messages on missions, we begin with the great need, and then we think about the plea for compassion of our hearts. But when Jesus gives this commission, He starts out on the foundation of the thought that He has all power in heaven and in earth. And when we expound upon this commission, we have to start at the very foundation and the fabric of it. And that is the fact that our God is a sovereign God. Sovereign simply means He is all powerful. He's called King of Kings. He's called Lord of Lords. And I know a lot of people think the two do not mix together, the sovereignty of God and the thought of missions. And yet, this is the very foundation of how and why we're able to go and declare this message of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now notice He says, "Go ye therefore." Because of this, here's your foundation, and therefore sends us back to what has just been said. And what has just been said is He has all power in heaven and in earth. He didn't say, therefore, sit down, twiddle your thumbs, and sing K-Sadah, Sadah. But He said, because I am the God above all gods, the Lord above all lords, the King above all kings, because I have all authority and all power in heaven and earth, on that basis, I send you forth, I commission you, and I give you the authority to do that which I'm commissioning you to do. I know that some have used the sovereignty of God as an excuse for their laziness. And others have tried to throw it out as though it does not exist. I was reading today in a book about preaching. And the old fellow's talking about expositional preaching. And he said, when you do expositional preaching, you have to deal with every thought and every subject. He said, some folk like to use a long passage, and when they come to a verse that they sort of disagree or can't understand with, and they're persecuted by that verse, then they flee to another scripture. And I thought, man, I hear a lot of preaching like that. They come across something in the Bible because they don't agree with it or don't understand it. They just throw it out as though it shouldn't be there. But you can't do that. You've got a right hand and a left hand. You get your equilibrium messed up, and you'll get vertigo, and you'll start wobbling all around. And if you go too far to the right or too far to the left on many of these truths in the Bible, you're going to get spiritual vertigo and wind up going around and around like a drunk fish in the Amazon after a big rain. You just get disoriented in all of that. I preached a meeting for Brother Billy Canoy right before he died. And he said, "Brother Randy, the need of this hour as I travel among preachers all over is that of a balanced ministry. That sees the truths of God on both sides." And we cannot do what God wants us to do and accomplish all that He wants us to accomplish and not believe in the completeness and the balance of the truths of the Word of God. Now notice what He said, Go ye therefore, because I have all power in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. Now that word therefore, if you break it down, it is a word that means go ye therefore, therefore meaning adverbially, that is, how to go. And the way that we do go is on the basis of the fact that He has all power in heaven and earth. What business do you have invading a country? What business do you have trying to change a culture? What business do you have telling somebody else something that they disagree with or they've never been raised around? Well, here's the business, because the God that has all power in heaven and earth told me to go, and that's how I am to go. Go ye therefore. The word therefore means certainly. We're not on a wild goose chase. I'm not chasing my own tail. I'm not going hoping so, maybe so, that God's going to do something, but I go knowing that Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And if I'm faithful, if I preach His Word, He said, ye will bring forth much fruit. And if we go forth preaching the Word of God, it will accomplish that which God has sent it forth to do. The word therefore means accordingly or conjunctively. In other words, there's some things connected together. You're going. And the fact that He has all power in heaven and earth should be tethered together. And what confidence that builds in the soul. The word therefore, it means truly. And we go forth saying amen, 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 truly, truly. This is not my word, it's His word. He is light, in Him is no darkness. I go forth with His divine truth. The word therefore means verily, 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 I say unto you, amen, amen. It is a confirmation of that heavenly truth that the Lord has sent us forth to go forth in. He says, go ye therefore. As an evangelist, I go all the time. But I'm glad that I can go standing on the foundation knowing that God is on the throne and that we as His people are able to look to Him. And even in adverse situations, our brother talking about getting thrown in jail, the difficulties he's had. I listened to the testimonies of these young men from Montana to home of Louisiana to North Carolina, all over the place, coming together under one roof to hear the Word of God. And I thought, boys, don't get bitter at God. You're talking about your mother being taken and all that. And there are mysteries that you don't understand. But the Lord requires of us to bow before Him and acknowledge that He is God. And in those times when we reckon by faith that God's on the throne and He's in charge, it gives us comfort and help like nothing else. You may not understand right now what's going on. You may not be able to comprehend it even in this life, but you mark it down. God has a master plan, as He does for the universe, He has for each one of our lives. I thought about my wife when she was 3 years old. Her mom and daddy split up. Mama took her over to grandma's and dropped her off. And as a 3-year-old kid, she said that memory is vividly burned in my mind as my mama was driving off leaving and I'm standing there crying and wondering why my mama has left me and grandma and grandpa would raise me. And she didn't understand that coming up as a girl. But God let her go to the house of God every time the doors were open. And Mama and Papa taught her the Word of God. And she got saved by the grace of God. Those ladies at Mount Sinai Baptist Church became hovering mothers over her and taught her the way a young lady ought to live and what she ought to do. And she wound up marrying me as a traveling evangelist all over this world. And God set her up and prepared her for the life that she and I would live in. And that's all. It goes back. I know that her mom and her dad sinned against God, but God overrides all those things. As Joseph said, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And when we have confidence in the Lord, we bow and worship Him, and we turn it all over to Him. Whenever Job was looking at 10 fresh dug graves, 10 children at one time slain, all of his business is gone. His servants taken captive. He has his health destroyed. His wife saying, curse God and die. Job had shaved his head and he bowed in the ash pile and he lifted up his eyes to the Lord and he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly, but he bowed down and he worshiped God. Hallelujah. Go ye therefore, because I have all power in heaven and in earth. There's a proper understanding of that. And we need to have that even in regard to missions, the foundation of it. Then secondly, look at the force of it. Go ye therefore. Here's your authority. I was in the Republic of Georgia, south of Moscow, on the south side of the Caucasus Mountains between the Black and the Caspian Sea. And it's a country that's eat up with Georgian orthodoxy. The Turks have come in there numbers of times, and many times when they would come, they would take a Georgian icon from their Georgian church and put it on the
bridge and say, if you didn't spit on that icon, we'll cut your head off and throw you in the river. And some 30,000 were slain in one day because they would not deny their icons. And as a result, that religion has attached itself to the national patriotism of Georgia. And when you go in there preaching the gospel, they feel that you're attacking their national patriotism. And so it's a very, very hard place to minister to. But when Russia pulled out back in the 90s, they bombed every factory. They burned every field. They destroyed everything they could. They left them in starvation. They left them in complete poverty. They were in civil war. I got opportunity to go there in 1990 through 2000. And they were ready for something spiritual. We gave out over 1 million pieces of gospel literature. Rented the Russian theater, and the meetings got so big, they carried portions of it on the national television station in Georgia. Eliab, the high priest of the Orthodox Church, he held our tracts up and said we were a Greek cult that had came to destroy the national patriotism of Georgia. And things got pretty hairy around there, got pretty rough for a little while. But I remember standing on the streets of Tbilisi, Georgia, passing out gospels and giving out gospel tracts. And here come a crew of those Orthodox waddling down through there in their black gowns with their collars turned around backwards and their big old crosses swinging down to their fat belly buttons. And one of them approached me and said, "What are you doing here? These people have no right to the Scripture. If they want to know anything about God, they've got to come to us. Buy a candle, burn it to the icon, pray to the icon. The icon will pray to Mary. Mary will pray to the angel. The angel will pray to God. And then God will give us the answer and we'll tell them what they need. You have no authority to be here." I said, "Oh, but sir, the high priest told me to do this." He said, "Eliab?" I said, "No, Jesus Christ the righteous." Hallelujah. And I looked over his head. And I just backed up with my eyes. He turned around to look to see what I was looking at. And I was just simply letting him know that I'm going to an authority that is above his head. Above the head of the communist government in China. Above the Muslims in Morocco. Above my friend, the hierarchy of the cities of America. We have a mandate. We have an authority. We have a word of commission that comes from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that gives us our force and our authority. Whether men like it or they don't like it, whether the governments cooperate with it or they don't cooperate with it, the Lord supersedes and goes above them all. For He is the only wise God and potentate, our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Bless His name. Where did He get this authority? Well, it's eternal. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as of the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and full of truth. Where did He get His authority? He made all things. That's why they want to teach evolution and tell people that we evolved out of mud. Because if you came out of slime, then you can act like slime because you're going back to slime. And so let's all be like slime. But if there is a God, if there is a Creator, if there is a Lord that stepped out on the edge of nothing, created everything by the word of His own power, then He is the owner. And He is the one that was here before all things were. And as a result, He has every right to say how things ought to be. And He has every right to declare what ought to be. He earned it, my friend, because He's eternal. And then He earned it by His life. Jesus Christ, born in a stable, born in a barn with animals. And yet, when He rose from the dead and was ready to ascend back to heaven, some of His last words and messages were, "Now all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me." Hallelujah. He came from the most obscure place a man could be born unto the highest point and pinnacle that any man could attain unto, and that is as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And then I think about the facets of this great commission. There are two facets and areas of power that He declares that He has. Look at it in verse 18. He said, "All power is given unto Me in heaven and in earth." The Lord Jesus Christ has all power in heaven. We learn this from the first written book in the Bible, the book of Job. The devil had to come and give a report to God. And God said, "Have you considered My servant Job?" And he said, "Yes, I have. But you've got a hedge about him, and I can't do a thing to him unless you allow Me." And then God, for the sake of proving that His people will serve Him regardless of good or ill, and the Lord wrought a great victory through Job, and He could trust Job in those trials, the Lord allowed certain things in certain stages. And God lets us peek into the heavenly world and know that things that are going on this earth are controlled by the God who is on the throne. The devil's not just doing whatever he wants to do. He may be a lion, but he's on a leash. Amen. And he can only go so far. And if he was not hindered, and if we were not hedged about, this church wouldn't be here. Your pastor wouldn't be alive. I sure wouldn't be preaching the Word of God tonight if the Lord didn't have boundaries and surround us. You see, this building is packed slap out tonight. You can't get anybody. Thank you, boys. I appreciate you guys being here. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him. And if it weren't for that, if God wasn't hedging us about, what do you think would happen this evening? The psalmist said, "Lord, give me a large pavilion." And it's a comfort to come to the house of God. I feel like that during this time, the Lord just sort of surrounds us and pushes the devil back. And that's why your head is clear. And boy, you can focus on spiritual things. And there have been many times I've come to hear somebody else preach, and the Lord ministered to my heart in realms and areas that I've been struggling in. I went to hear one fellow preach. He preached on John the Baptist. And while he was preaching, God gave me 10 messages on the Apostle Paul. And it's just like the Lord backs all this away and hedges us about. Hallelujah. Now, these missionaries on the field, they wouldn't last 10 minutes if it wasn't for the divine protection and the providence of Almighty God. How many stories have we read about in the mission books and all of that, of John G. Patton and Livingston and all these others that heathen come to kill them and then run away. And they ask, "Why did you run away?" "Oh, because of that man that had his sword drawn there." And they never saw it, but God let that heathen see it and protect those missionaries. Hallelujah. He's got heavenly power. He's over the heavenly world. And we find that we have to acknowledge that. But He's not only got heavenly power, He's got earthly power. All power in heaven and in earth. Some folk like to forbid God. And they say God has no right to encroach in anybody's life. I beg your pardon. I'd still be like Legion of heathen in the graveyard somewhere had He not encroached on my life, and had He not crossed me and dealt with me and drew me by the cords of His love. In Daniel chapter number 4, there was a king who was the ruler of the whole world at that time. And he said, "Look at my Babylon that I have created. Look at what all I have done." And he began to boast himself. And God said, "I'll show you who you are, and I'll show you what you would do if it weren't for my sustaining grace." And his brain scrambled like eggs. He jerked his clothes off, ran out into a field, started eating grass like a beast of the field. And God let his hair grow so thick to be merciful to him, cover him up a little bit. And he stayed there in that loco, stark, raving situation until the Bible says that he lifted up his eyes unto heaven, and then he said, "Mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation."
And the king said, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And at the same time, my reasoning returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and my brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom in excellent glory as added unto me. And I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. He got the message, didn't he? I'm going to look for Nebuchadnezzar when I get to heaven. Oh, listen, I don't want to be turned out to pastor to acknowledge that the Most High God ruleth over the affairs of men. But then he said, all power in heaven and all power in earth is given unto me. You know, the early church believed that. The disciples received from the Lord, or they heard him pray there in the garden in John 17:2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. They heard him pray that. They knew that. And so in Acts chapter number 5, when Peter and the apostles were confronted by the world and they said, don't preach or teach in his name anymore, they said, we ought to obey God rather than men. And the Bible says when they began to pray, they prayed and asked the Lord to be exalted. And when Peter preached the Word of God, they said that he had exalted his right hand, the Lord Jesus, to be a Prince and a Savior, to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And when they prayed in Acts chapter number 4, they prayed, Lord, Thou that hast made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them is, whose mouth by mouth serveth. David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered against the Lord and against His Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. They crucified you. They nailed you to the cross. But Lord, we know that you were above it all. And they simply fulfill what your counsel had determined before to be done. The cross was not an accident. The divine resurrection was not an accident. The work Christ accomplished was not an accident. And they said, because you're the God that can rule over all affairs and all things, you hear their threatenings, you see what they're trying to do, they're trying to shut us down. Now, Lord, our foundation of this prayer is the fact that you're God, you're on the throne, and we're looking to you and asking you to handle this situation. Hallelujah. When I went to India the first time, I got off the airplane and I looked around at all those Hindu temples, gods and goddesses of all kinds, devils and smoked up priests and people with dots between their eyes. And I said to myself, what is a country boy from Green River doing coming to a place like this? And how am I going to convince any of this crowd that the gospel of the Lord Jesus is the only gospel and this is right? And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you can't. But you preach my word and I will. I said, thank you, Lord. We went to those Hyderabad gardens and I preached in 90 degree weather that night. And after I finished preaching, this little old lady up in her 60s come waddling down the aisle with that dot between her eyes. And she said to Brother Emmanuel, she said, I have come tonight to renounce all my gods and all my goddesses. And I want to trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And she prayed and she got saved. And as I walked away and headed back over to the little place where we were staying, the Lord whispered in my ear and said, I told you, you just go, you preach my word, I'll take care of the rest of it. Hallelujah. If I could save them, I'd twist their arm, I'd hog tie them, I'd throw them in an altar, I'd put a knife to their throat, but I can't. And that's not what God told me to do. And that's not what God told you to do. He told us to go forth believing that His gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Declare that word and ask Him to do His divine work. And you know what? He's done a good job of it. Thank God the church is still in the earth. And when the last one is saved, the trump of God's going to sound, and we're headed out of here, and every mansion's going to be filled. Praise God, and the number which no man can number, going to be saved by the grace of God. He's on the throne. And we as God's children have that authority to do what we're doing. And that is being questioned on every hand with this progressive, liberal bunch that we're dealing with today. And they act like we're just a bunch of folk that come out of the dark ages that don't know what we're doing. But we know exactly what we're doing. We're following the mandate of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. What more can He say than to you He has said, ye who unto Jesus for refuge have fled. Let's all stand. Let's bow our heads and hearts for a moment. God may be speaking to you and calling you to a work, a ministry, a life of commitment. And the devil said, you can't do it. On that occasion, agree with him. I can't. But the one who calls me can. Lord, I'm going to turn it over to you tonight. And I remember as a young fella, God dealing with me to preach. I didn't like school. I didn't like public speaking. Didn't like any of that. But I remember getting 3 wisdom teeth cut out and that pain shooting up through my head. And every time it would throb, the Lord would say, preach, preach. And I finally said, Lord, I will. I may make the biggest mess out of it a man's ever made, but I will commit to you because you love me so much. And I said, you'll have to help me, Lord. And you know what? When God calls, He will help. He will give you the strength. And He'll provide for you exactly what you need to do whatever He's called you to do, because He has all power in heaven and earth. You can commit it unto Him. As they begin to play some number tonight, God spoke to your heart. You want to join these praying in the altar? You got a situation that's bigger than you. You got something you're wrestling with. You might just need to turn it over to Him tonight. I don't know what the need is, but I ask you to obey the Lord.